Well, it's a pleasure, as always, to be joined by Josh Kendall. Does a great job covering South Carolina for the state newspaper. Josh, I know you've been in a pinch with practice today. You've seen this team. We're halfway through the year. They're not always aesthetically pleasing, but South Carolina is 4-2. How good is this team?
This team is a very Wilmus champion. I mean, this is the game against Arkansas Saturday, I think, is what Wilmus champ dreams of when he draws up game plans. Defense scored 3 touchdowns. You know, the offense is what a Wilmus champ offense is and looks destined to be. And, you know, right now they feel pretty good about themselves because they're coming off of a win over an Arkansas team whose wheels are falling off. They're going to play another team whose wheels look like they're falling off. You know, I think South Carolina as a program is making positive momentum, but it's not going super fast, and it's not going as fast as it looked like it might be going in the first 2 weeks of the season. So the Gamecocks kind of are what they are. They've got to be opportunistic like they were against Arkansas to beat quality teams, really to beat any conference team. So we'll see if they can keep it up.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the kickoff times with South Carolina not matching up to where I've been able to watch them a whole bunch. So since Debo Samuel's been out, how does South Carolina move the ball?
In fits and starts. Debo Samuel has not played since the third quarter of the Kentucky game, and he is still this team's all-purpose yardage leader by more than 100 yards. He still has twice as many touchdowns as anybody on this football team. So that kind of gives you an idea of 2 things. Debo Samuel's a really good football player, and it stinks that all of us don't get to watch him play more this season. And it gives you the idea that the rest of the offense, which still has some quality pieces, some talented players, is just not playing as well as it should. And it comes down to the fact that they can't run the ball with any consistency against anybody who's worth a darn. So then it becomes, you know, can you protect your quarterback when you can't run the ball? Against Texas A&M in the fourth quarter, they couldn't, and they gave up a 10-point lead. Against Arkansas, they could a little bit, and they were able to move the ball up and down the field. So, you know, Jake Bentley is a really good quarterback. Hayden Hurst is a really good tight end. But until this team can run the ball with consistency, its offense is not going to go anywhere very consistent.
You mentioned Bentley. Everybody knows his story last year and what a great story that was. Are you seeing a slightly improved quarterback or a noticeably improved quarterback as a sophomore?
You're seeing a tremendously improved quarterback in the mental side of the game. You can tell that he has complete command of what he's doing. Whereas last year they gave him one play and said, go out and run this play, come heck or high water, and he did. This year, he is in control of everything. They've got a lot of run pass option stuff in the system. He gets them into the right play almost every time. Now, on the back end of that, he has not thrown the ball as well as he did last year. He has missed some guys. He's missed some wide open guys who would have walked into the end zone. And I think that part of it is he is processing so much more information. That last year you saw a guy who is very physically talented going out and having one thing to do and just letting his talent take over and slinging the football and hitting almost every throw. Now you see a guy who's got a lot going on upstairs. He's moving a lot of pieces around in his head, and when it gets to the moment of it's time to throw the football, he's missed a few throws. So his numbers have not been spectacular. His numbers in 6 games this year are pretty comparable to what they were in the 7 games he started last year. But in terms of his, you know, once it all comes together, once he gets the physical stuff back in line with the mental stuff, he's going to have a really, really good either back half of this year and or back half of this year in junior season.
You're listening to Josh Kendall, does a great job covering South Carolina for the state newspaper in Columbia, South Carolina. You're listening to Josh here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Josh, my man, thank you as always for the time. I guess my question for you is, you talked about the slow progress of something like this in a game that now feels like a coin flip game. Does South Carolina really have more to lose in this one than maybe they thought a month ago or certainly at this point last year?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I don't think that there's any question that, you know, coming into the year, I thought that this team would be 4-2 at the midpoint, which is what they are. But then I thought that the back half of the schedule could get really ugly for this team because you had Tennessee, because you had Florida, because you had a road trip to Georgia. because you had a Vandy team that we thought was improving. Well, all of a sudden, that road trip to Georgia still looks very daunting and maybe too high a hill to climb for this group. But Tennessee doesn't look unbeatable. Florida doesn't look unbeatable. Poor Vandy might not be fielding a team by the time South Carolina gets there at this rate. So, yeah, I mean, suddenly the Gamecocks went from – and this is college football in a nutshell. Gamecocks went from a team that beat Louisiana Tech by a point and got lucky to do it 3 weeks ago, and people were saying, well, it's a four-win season, to now fans are asking, you know, if things break right, could we get to a New Year's Bowl? So, yeah, you know, all of a sudden the stakes, I think, are higher for South Carolina because everybody else in the East, other than Georgia, shows no signs of wanting to win football games.
Now, and I know everybody is consumed with what could be Butch Jones's seat is unbelievably hot, Will Muschamp's not at all because of just where he is and what they're doing. My question, though, I want to go a little bit off the board. How is Frank Martin in the South Carolina basketball program? Have they completely shut it down after the FBI announcement and all of the unknowns that are circling around all of college basketball in the last 3 weeks?
They, like everybody else in college basketball, shocked to discover that there was gambling in this organization.
Really? Because every one of us who do this for a living has known that this was going on for years, except the head coaches who are now appalled and outraged by this revelation.
Completely shocked, yes. Your listeners may or may not know, a former South Carolina assistant who is now a former Oklahoma State assistant was implicated in the first batch of these arrests. Yeah, I mean, you know, when the FBI gets involved, I don't know. But here's my takeaway from all this is if you're arguing that fraud has been committed because these poor, innocent universities have been defrauded by having five-star recruits come play for them, I'm having a hard time buying that part of the argument. But, yes, right now, in the real world and in the cutthroat world of college basketball, it looks like South Carolina is going to be okay. It looks like that whatever fallout, and you know, the FBI can keep pulling this string as long as they want to pull it, I think, and eventually could probably round up every team in Power 5 conference. So, but unless the FBI decides they want to keep pulling on this string for the next 5 or 6 years, I think South Carolina's fine.
Listening to Josh Kendall of the State Newspaper in Columbia. Josh, we only got about a minute left. The health of South Carolina's football team, no Debo, but what about everybody else?
Well, they, you know, as of the Arkansas game, they were without three starting offensive linemen, at least three guys who started the season as starters on the offensive line. They could get all of them back this week, but, you know, it's ankles, which are hard to judge. A couple of them have now been out multiple weeks, so you start looking at a conditioning issue, even if their ankle is healthy enough to come back. So I think that you, if you're a South Carolina fan, you're going into this game expecting not to get much or anything from Zach Bailey, Corey Helms, and Malik Young. At the beginning of the season, that was your starting right guard and both of your starting tackles. And Zach Bailey's the best offensive lineman on the football team. So there are reasons besides just inconsistent play that they haven't been able to run the ball, and that's been a big one. So if those guys, if any of those trio of guys can come back and can start and can be effective, that helps South Carolina for sure.
Josh, great stuff. You know, of course, Tennessee has looked really bad against UMass and Georgia. Do you have to pick this game? Are you leaning toward picking South Carolina?
Yeah, I am. I mean, but you're dealing with a complete unknown, it feels like, with Tennessee right now. You know, could they circle the wagons and rally and have a really inspired performance? And could John Kelly rush for 180 yards? Absolutely. But you got to feel like if things go poorly early on, you know, you're going to have – I mean, however many show up at Neyland Stadium, what do you think, 80,000 or so are going to be really upset early on. And if Guarantano can't throw the ball at all and Will Muschamp plays 11 guys in the box, you know, I don't know. It could go either way.
Josh, yes, I love the image of Tennessee circling the wagons because Butch, you know, just the image of Butch Jones circling the wagons is a beautiful one.
Yeah, hey, if anybody can do it, you know Butch can do it.
Josh,
or at least come up with a motivational slogan for it.
Exactly. Josh, great stuff as always. Thank you so much. Safe travels this week to Knoxville, and we thank you as always for joining us here on Press Row.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Josh Kendall does a great job covering South Carolina for the state, joining us. We thank everybody for their participation today. Do not go away. Jay and I will wrap things up with our closing full court press. You're listening to Press Row, back with our final segment of the afternoon here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.